may be seated. We've been studying a very exciting group of lessons on the names of God, and tonight we have come to the subject Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our Shepherd. God revealed himself to Israel in many ways, and each time that God would reveal himself to Egypt, it was through one of his names. Each time Israel would find themselves in a difficult situation, God revealed himself as the God who could meet that need. See, God is a God of revelation, and God is a God who becomes to his people whatever their need demand. I like that, because whatever your need tonight is, God can meet that need. We're going to take a look at these eight compound redemptive names of God, but the name that God most often referred to himself in the Old Testament was the name Jehovah. It is used over 6,800 times in the Old Testament. Now, the word Jehovah means the God who reveals himself. You should have a handout, and God revealed himself to his people. If you don't have a handout, hold your hand up, and Brother Elon Johnson will give you one. But God revealed himself line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. And we have studied these names. I've studied them over the years, but I had never put them in biblical order. But the word Jehovah means the God who reveals himself. So if God revealed himself to meet a need of his people at that particular time, I think it's very important that we go back and look at how did God reveal himself and when did God reveal himself to his people and what was their need at the time that God revealed himself by that compound redemptive name. Now, all of these eight compound redemptive names, they are fulfilled in the name and in the person of Jesus Christ in the redemption which he provided at Calvary's cross by his own precious blood. If you look at these names, the God first revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, our provider. That was in Exodus chapter 22. You've got a handout. You can go home, read all about that. We've got sermons. We've already preached on that. So God let Israel know, I am your provider. He did that when Abraham was to offer up his son, Jehovah Jireh. Then when they came out of Egyptian bondage, the seed of Abraham, in Exodus 15:26, God revealed himself as the healer, the Jehovah Rapha. He has never changed. He never changes. And so he's always been a healer. Since he revealed himself to his covenant people that way, he will always be a healer. The third time he revealed himself was in Exodus chapter 17 as Jehovah Nisi. It says his banner over us is love. See, each of these names show the character or the characteristics of God. God is a God of love, and God loves you. And his banner over us is love. You know, this flag represents a banner for the United States of America. And God has a banner over us called love. We love this flag. Those of that have served in our military and those in our country, we love the flag. It's a banner that lets us know that we're protected by the United States government. But think about our Jehovah Nisi, whose banner over us is love, which means we have provided total protection by the Lord of the armies of heaven. The Lord of hosts, that's what it means. The Lord of hosts, it means the Lord of the armies of heaven. So God watches over us with infinite care. And then in Leviticus chapter 20, God revealed himself as Jehovah Makedesh, our sanctifier. He wants us to live holy. He's a holy God, and he gives us the strength to live holy. And then Jehovah Shammah, the God of our peace. Shalom, shalom. When we were in Israel, that's what people would say. It's a greeting. Peace be unto you. And then tonight, Jehovah Rohi in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord our Shepherd. Then we will look at the seventh compound redemptive name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, later on next week when God revealed himself to Jeremiah, speaking prophetically that Jesus would become our righteousness. And then Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there, when God revealed that to Ezekiel. But it was to David that God revealed himself as Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Let's look at the 23rd Psalm and look at it. Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Hallelujah. I love verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My subject tonight, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for these names and how you revealed yourself to Israel, your covenant people. And Lord, that we're the seed of Abraham, and because Christ is our Lord, that we have covenant, the blood covenant, the most powerful covenant in the world. And God, you have promised us from your word that whatever our need is, whenever we need you, you will be there and you will meet that need. And we just praise you for that. Lord, there are people who are watching that they have financial need. Thank you for fulfilling that need. There are people, Lord, who have troubles in their family. Thank you for bringing peace there. You are Jehovah Shalom. Thank you, Lord, for providing for healing. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Whatever we need you to be, that's who you are, because you have revealed yourself by these eight compound redemptive names that all point to Calvary and what Jesus did at the cross. Thank you for making yourself real to your people. And we love you and praise you. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Look at Psalms 23:1. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have used this many times, the 23rd Psalm, at a funeral, and they have 17 personal pronouns. If you want to go back and circle them in your Bible, 17 personal pronouns. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, David, he was a keeper of the sheep, and he knew what it was to care for his father's sheep. David had a shepherd's heart, and when a lion came out to destroy one of his lambs, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and he went out and he slew that lion with his bare hands. How could he do such a thing? Because he had a shepherd's heart, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and God was revealing that it's not by power nor by might, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And on another occasion, a bear came out, and he took that little lamb, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and he slew that bear. Well, God was working him up. What giant are you facing tonight? God works on us, and he takes us from victory to victory. And he does that to prepare us for the bigger giants that we will face in life. David's fighting a lion, and he's fighting a bear. But the thing that would set David for life was David would drop Goliath, the mighty Philistine warrior. He said, you come against me with sword and spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. This day shall he give you into my hand. And that's the kind of spirit you need. David was a worshiper, but David was a warrior. And he didn't back down to that giant. A 5-footer going after a 10-footer. I can see him running and just screaming and yelling, the battle is the Lord's. And he took a rock and a rag and he let it go. It was good for slingshot, but it wasn't his goodness. It was God's goodness. And God took that rock and in one vulnerable place in that giant's armor right between the eyes. And the first radar that man ever knew anything about, the Holy Ghost guided right into that target, dropped him to his knees. He didn't have a sword, so he went up and took the giant's sword and chopped his head off. Don't ever let your enemy up. Keep him down. I learned that in combat. If you drop him, make sure he's taken out. And have some, you know, you can have some compassion for people, but not for the devil. He comes to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. You've got to know that. They taught us in combat, when somebody is dead and you think they're dead, just go up to them and have your rifle at the ready. And if they're lying there, before you roll them over, have you be ready, because they may have a hand grenade. You don't know what. They might be lying there with a pistol. But be ready to finish them if you have to finish the job. But, you know, in war, there are rules of war. But when it comes to the devil, the only rule is to annihilate him. Take him out, because Jesus said he's coming. He's going to come. And you better be suited up. You better have the whole armor of God on and be ready for him. See, David was suited up. David knew that the shepherd had a personal relationship with the sheep, and that the responsibility of the shepherd was to watch over and to protect the sheep. So we have a good shepherd, and he has a responsibility to you and me, and he has promised to take care of us. The Hebrew redemptive name, all of them point to and are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Jehovah Rohi, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." Now go with me to the New Testament, John 10 and 11. Jesus is speaking. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Do you see that? He went to an old rugged cross, and he gave himself for us. What he did not do for himself. He did it for you and me and for whoever would call upon the name of the Lord. So whatever battle you're facing, you've got to know that the Lord is my shepherd. The good shepherd, he gave his life for me. He gave his life for you. And God said, Romans 8, Paul said, "He that spared not his own son." Put Romans 8, 32 up. I want you to see this. This is powerful. "He that spared not his own son, but offered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" Romans 8, 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" All of these names, these compound redemptive names, Jehovah Rapha. When I need healing, I say, "Jehovah Rapha." Hallelujah. When I need comfort, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. You can just say it in one word. Well, if you can't get that much out, just say Jesus. Jesus. Say it with me. Jesus. 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 There's no name like that. I know it's Wednesday night, but praise God, I feel good in my soul. Hallelujah. I fell down the stairs the other night, vacuuming the floor for Teresa, and I'm working on this side right here, trying to get all those muscles stretched back out, and then I got hit right here, why in the world is that side hurting there? And then I realized I fell down the steps on Friday night. Yeah, after we left for prayer, I went home, and I had on some shoes I shouldn't have had on when I was vacuuming. They had rubber, they had leather soles with rubber in the center. If you got those kind of shoes, don't do stairs. Get you some good leather soles on or whatever. But don't use that mixture like that, because I learned a lesson. Amen. But it showed up today. But hallelujah, here I am. I still got my dance, still got my shout. And I'm healed, because God said I'm healed. And I'll just keep on doing what I do. And praise God, if I have to, y'all bring me a stool, and I'll sit here and preach the word of God any way I have to. But look at John 10, 14. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." That's what we're looking at these names for. I want you to know him. You know, you got to know God revealed himself in these eight compound redemptive names. If he revealed himself like that, shouldn't we know these names? You ought to know them like your ABCs. Amen. You shouldn't have to look them up. Who is your peace? Jehovah Shalom. Who is your provider? Jehovah Jireh. Who is your healer? Jehovah Rapha. Yes. Who is the good shepherd? Jehovah Rohi. Amen. Yes. Who is your righteousness? Jehovah Sitkanu. Who is your sanctified? Jehovah Makedesh. Yes. What else do you need him to be? Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you." Hallelujah. "And I'm for you. Who can be against you?" But what has God purposed for your life? I want you to look at John 10, verse 10. Because just before Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and the sheep know his voice. But look in John 11, he said, I'm the good shepherd. But look at this. Then he says, "The thief cometh." He begins to reveal that we are in a warfare. The thief comes for three reasons: to steal, to kill, and destroy. And then he said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundant." And then in verse 14, he says, "I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." Do you know him? How do you know him? How much of him do you know? I want to ask you a question. Where are you on your Bible reading guide? I can talk now. I can talk trash to you now because I've been away and I've been reading. I'm in 3 John, 2 John, then I got Jude, 3 John and Jude and the book of Revelation, and I'll be through with the New Testament. I'm in Ezekiel. I'm all the way into November, in the middle of November. I'm going to finish my Bible early is what I'm saying. I want to know him. That has been my quest from the moment I got saved to know him. Paul said that I may know him, the fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. What is that? The crucified life. You don't live according to your desire. You live according to what God has called you to do. And that's the greatest life you can ever live. Hallelujah. But what is God's purpose for your life? Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And the Jesus who saves you and who took care of your sin problem, he is the same Jesus that is concerned about every need that you have. He is the Jesus who is concerned about your problems. He is concerned about sickness and disease and infirmity that hits your body. And he gives us his word to look into so we can find out who he is. He is concerned about your finances. He's concerned about your family. You say, well, I'm not living that abundant life. Well, just hang around the Holy Ghost for a while. Get around a good Bible-believing church. Get around a church that teaches and preaches Jesus and not a religious Jesus and not a denominational Jesus, but the Jesus of the Bible. That's the Jesus that's the same yesterday and today and forever. And praise God, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Be free. Glory to God. He's concerned about all the problems that you and I face in life. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what David said. And so Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And Jesus wants to handle all of your problem in the here and now while you are still on planet Earth. This Bible is a book that's more about than just getting to heaven. This is a book about how to live your life. This is a book that will teach you family relationships. Talk to you about your career. It will talk to you about how to raise your family and how to work and how to succeed in life and how to have a successful career. I'll never forget when I was first saved, God woke me up in the middle of the night. I'm a brand new Christian. I know I got saved September 26, 1982. And when God asked me this question, the new year hadn't even come in. So it's probably somewhere in November. Might have been on my birthday. Who knows? But anyway, the Lord spoke to me and says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And I got up. Couldn't go back to sleep. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. One of the greatest revelations I ever got from God. You don't get many of these, but when you get one, you need to do what God says to do with the revelation he gives you. And finally, after 45 minutes or so, I couldn't go back to sleep. I said, well, it's in the Bible, so I know you're talking to me, God, so I'm going to find it. So I got my Bible out, and I went to the book of Genesis in the beginning. I found that. But I couldn't find in the beginning was the Word. And I looked, and I searched, and I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and finally I just bowed my head. Like, God, I know you're talking to me. Where's that in the Bible? The same voice said, turn to the book of John. And I thought I'd have to go all the way through the book of John. I opened it, John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And I said, God, what does that mean to me? He said, learn my Word. He said, my Word will do exactly what I said it would do. And he told me in terms I could understand, it's a guide for earthly living and a roadmap for eternal salvation. When my daughter Jessica was getting ready to go to college is when I really received the fullest of that revelation. I was going out to Idaho to bring her back, and we wanted her to go to college here in North Carolina instead of out there. She'd finished school out there. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, take the book of Proverbs by Eugene Peterson and do the first 6 or 7 chapters with her. Well, she didn't want to do that. She said, you carried me to church all my life. You made me go to a Christian school. I don't want to do that. And so for 3 days we traveled, and finally on the third day, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. Just love your children, what I'm trying to say. You can't cram anything down their throat. Amen. She's sitting over there and I'm driving. I said, Jessica, I said, you are a brilliant child. I said, you could be anything in life that you wanted to be. I said, you are smart. You are really a brilliant child. I said, I cannot believe anybody as smart and as brilliant as you are would sit beside someone like me that knows about life, that knows what the Word of God says, and you wouldn't tap into that resource. I didn't say another word. We rode a few more miles, and she took the book of Proverbs, Eugene Peterson, out and began to read to me. And we covered either 6 or 7 of those chapters like the Lord had told me. But that's when I realized, see, that's why this is so important, that handout I get. You might say, well, that's not much to that. Yes, it is. I put these things in order, right, as God did it. See, I'm about 24 years into my journey as a Christian, when what God told me that night when he woke me up, it became a reality that this book, even though I knew it was, I didn't know how to explain it to people. This book is a book about how to live your life on planet Earth, and it is a book about how to get to heaven. God is our Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, and he wants us to lead us and guide us, and that's why it's important that you look at these names, how God revealed himself to his covenant people. Maybe God is revealing himself to you in one of the needs in your life at this moment. But I promise you, if you'll stick around, some good Holy Ghost-filled people, hallelujah, and where the Word of God is taught, you will learn how to be a victorious Christian. Amen. See, God is not a someday God. The Bible's a book about how to live here on earth and a book about how to make heaven your eternal home. We were singing about heaven earlier tonight. But God is the God of now, and today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day to be healed. Today is the day to praise God. Today is today to worship him and thank him that he's what he said he is in his word. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. See, it's in this life that we learn how to handle the problems of life. And God has promised us. Look at Philippians 4:19. See, everybody's going to be facing something. Philippians 4:19. But my God, say that, my God shall supply all, make it personal, my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I read that. I said, no, David, he might be your shepherd. Let me tell you something. He's my shepherd too. And you've got to know that. When David was at Ziklag, his men were ready to stone him to death. I like what the Bible says. It said, he slipped away and talked to the Lord his God. I read that. I said, praise God, he's my God too. See, make this thing personal, because there is a devil. Put John 10:10 back up there. I don't even have to finish this thing. I'm just going to wear that devil out. I'm going to preach on healing and keep on preaching on healing, keep on preaching on the goodness of God and the mercy of God. I got a sermon, praise God, that's boiling on the inside of me. I got to put it together on Acts, where this is what Jesus did. You want to blame somebody for the Holy Ghost? Blame Jesus. He sent the Holy Ghost to the church. We talk in tongues because of Jesus. I'm going to just wear the devil out and talk about Jesus, 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 Jesus. And if you do that, guess what? You'll come forth more than a conqueror. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So why are we fighting this battle? Why is it so intense right now? Because we're about to break through into something. And the devil is trying to stop it. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He cannot stop you. The only thing that can stop you is you. If you'll keep on praising God and keep on worshiping God and keep on proclaiming the goodness of God, goodness and mercy will show up. Hallelujah. Go on and praise him. Victory will come in Jesus' name. I tested it. I've tried it. I've been through some hard places, but here I stand, having done all to stand, and see the salvation of the Lord. Whatever your need is, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, He has promised he will supply that need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to what the doctor's report says. Not according to what the stock market says or the Dow Jones. I'm glad they've turned around. I am. I remember in 2008, I had lost a chunk of change. And my wife said, why don't you get all your money out of it? I said, I can't now. I said, I'm losing too much. I said, I'm not worried about it a bit. I said, it's on paper. I said, you watch it. Praise God, it'll turn around. I was glad when it turned around, too. Aren't you glad the stock market turned around? Aren't you glad we got somebody up there in the White House that's concerned about the average person that wants to get to middle class America? I'm preaching good now. And wants to elevate people and get them up. Look at all that corruption that's coming out. They went after Donald Trump. Let's go and say it. I'm on Facebook. Hallelujah. And I'm on live screen. They went after Trump. But guess what? That corruption they've done in darkness, just like the Bible said, it's coming out. Go on, praise God, hallelujah. We need to rise up. We need some people with some spine and backbone to stand up. We got a bunch of liars and hypocrites up in D.C., yes. We need to clean and drain the swamp. Get some people that care about America again. How'd I get over there? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And I believe in righteousness. And righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And we've had enough reproach from that crowd up there. And we need to drain the swamp, clean the place up, hallelujah, and put some people out there that care about people and not lying in their own pockets. Amen. Well, hallelujah. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or see that begging the bread. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget none of his benefits. What a day, David. He forgives all our sin. He heals all our disease. Crowns our lives with loving kindness and tender mercies. And satisfies our mouth with good things. Renews our youth like that of the eagles. I take some of that, Lord. Hallelujah. The older I get, the more I like that one. Hallelujah. See, we're not talking about some fairy tale here. We're not talking about some fable. We're talking about the Word of God. And the Lord, if he is your shepherd, let me tell you something. If you'll walk right, talk right, and do right, you shall not want. He'll take care of you. When Jesus becomes your Lord, people won't have to beg you to come to church. I know I'm preaching to the choir right now, but tell those other people, hallelujah. When Jesus becomes your Lord, people won't have to beg you to work in the nursery or work in church. When Jesus becomes your Lord, people won't have to ask you to pay your tithe. You'll understand. Seed time, harvest. There's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. And he that soweth sparingly reaps sparingly. He that soweth bountifully reaps bountifully. God loves a cheerful giver. With the same measure you give to others, God said, I'll cause men to give back to you. Hallelujah. People don't like that when I preach like that. You know why they don't like that? Because the devil. All he ever talks about is money. I'm not trying to get your money. I'm trying to get your money in God's kingdom so God can get money to you. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't want you to know these secrets. He doesn't want you to know that God has a seed time harvest. Let me preach on tithing a little while. He said, you robbed me. They said, have we robbed you? He said, you sons of Jacob. He said, you're not consumed because of my mercy. He said, you're just like your fathers. You broke my commandments and my ordinances. He said, go back and read Malachi 3 and start. Finish it up. He said, you're just like your fathers. You've broken my ordinances. You've not kept them. He said, return unto me and I return to you. They said, how shall we return, Lord? He said, get out your wallet. Let's talk a little while. Let's talk about money. He didn't say pray a little more. He didn't say fast and pray. He didn't say read the scriptures. He didn't say to go to church. He said, you have robbed me. Your whole nation, you have robbed me of tithes and offerings. He said, I want to bless you, but I can't because I can't break my word. He said, if you bring your tithe into the storehouse, I'll open the windows of heaven for you. If you bring your tithe into the storehouse, I will pour you out a blessing. There'll not be room enough to receive it. If you bring your tithe into the storehouse, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. That means your stuff lasts longer. You know, I haven't, my cars, if you get one of my cars that's used, I drive them a long time, but I just get tired of them. You know, I just want another one. They're still good cars. God makes them run and run and run. Brother Larry Rowe, he's in heaven right now. I'll never forget when I had a heat pump at my house. And I'm going to tell you something. That heat pump, it didn't put out enough heat for me. It puts out 92 degree air. It feels good when you walk in, but you got a 98.6 degree body. And you got a return air, and it pulls that heat across you, going back to return air. It's pulling 92 degree air at the best across you. And you get cold. And I said, fix my heat pump. He said, that thing is gone. I was not his pastor at the time. I said, you work on it and I pray. And God will fix it. He got under there and did his thing. And this is the truth. My wife knows it. I got myself a heat pump years later. I wasn't in his pastor at that time. That unit was still working. I got rid of it because I was tired of being cold and I wanted a gas pack, and that's what I got. Hallelujah. But he fixed it and God worked on it, and it lasted and lasted and lasted and lasted and was still going when I got rid of it. God said, I rebuked the devourer for you. I'll make your stuff last longer. I tell you, that's good preaching there. Bible said, let another praise you, not your own self. I reckon I had to praise myself on that one. Hallelujah. When Jesus becomes your Lord, you delight to do what he says to do. That's what I'm trying to say. Some people say, well, Brother Nelson, you don't know my problem. Well, I don't have to know your problem. I know my God. Do you know your God? If you know your God, then if you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The psalmist could have said pastures, but that would not have been enough. See, some pastors are old and they're dry and they're rocky and they're full of briars. You ever been in a pastor like that? I have. And there's no nourishment. There's no rest. There's no refreshing in a place like that. But our good shepherd, Jesus, he takes us to green pastures. He takes us to where the spirit of life is. He takes us into the services where the Holy Ghost is. And he begins to refresh us by his spirit. Hallelujah. See, once we've been refreshed, he gives us living water. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. And he said, if that's not enough, they'll spring up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. Still water. Now, sheep, they won't drink from rushing, running water. So the first thing the shepherd has to do is dam that water up and give them a quiet pool so the sheep can come and drink in a quiet place. I like to get in a quiet place. You know, this world has so much noise. Sometimes it just does me good to get into a quiet place where I can hear God. The Lord is our shepherd. He provides a place of peace and quietness so we can find refreshment. Look at Hebrews 4:9. I love this. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. That God has a place of rest for you. Our good shepherd prepares that place. I've had people tell me, and when I was growing up, it was a lady in our church, she said, the only place I ever find any peace is when I come to church. She said, you don't know how much church means to me. Her husband was a drunkard, a brawler, and there was always chaos there, but she loved to come to church. Look at Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. So you've got to pray. You got to read the word. You got to talk to God. You got to commune with him. See, our good shepherd has provided a place of rest for us. The devil may be all around you, but the angels of the Lord camp round about the children of God. That means that you are in the inner circle of the angels of God that have been sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. So what I want you to see is there's a devil right here. He might have you surrounded. Amen. If I had the people, I could do it. But I want you to know something else. That there is an inner circle of angels that are camped round about us. So if you're so worried about the devil being all around you, I want to show you something. God has you in an inner circle. Put that devil over there. You're in the inner circle of God's angels. He provides total protection for you. The angels of the Lord camp round about them that fear him, that reverence him. The devil may be all around. It's like the prophet Elijah. And Gehazi goes out and he sees all these enemies in the mountains. He said, oh, We're surrounded. And Elisha said, open his eyes and let him see what I see. You're surrounded by angels. God says they are flames of fire, ministering spirits sent to minister to the house of salvation. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Rohi. He restores my soul. One of the bad characteristics about a sheep is they tend to stray. They just put their head down. They start grazing and away they go. They have a poor sense of direction. And they wander away from the shepherd and they stray many times into danger. Many times as a Christian, we tend to stray. We simply wander off from the good shepherd. That's why I tell people, I encourage you to be in church, to read your Bible, get around Christians. Somebody said, I have a drinking problem. I said, well, don't go stand in front of the liquor store. You need to go stand in front of and say, help me not to drink, Lord, help me not to drink. Go stand in front of the candy store. You know, some people, they can be so stupid about some things. But if you have had a problem in the area, don't go there. Years ago, I tried to help this young boy that I knew he was a Christian, he was a musician, and he goes out and plays in a club. And I tried to tell him, don't do that. You can't do that. You came out of that. You can't survive that. Well, I'm going to go witness. Well, I saw him on live on Facebook sometime, or somebody showed me. Guess what? He's playing in the clubs now. Yeah. That does not glorify God. I'll tell you what glorifies God is when God's people come to church, when they get involved in kingdom worship, and they live a good, holy life where they can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, I was telling you about sheep wandering. Look at 1 Peter 2 and 5. If you don't believe sheep wander and people in the church wander, I need to go back and catch this one. For you were a sheep gone astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Once you return, you don't need to ever go back out. You just need to come on and walk with the master. So many people have a hard time with that. You cannot straddle the fence with one foot in and one foot out and think you're going to make heaven your eternal home. The thief is coming. He's coming to steal, to kill, and destroy. He comes after everyone. And nobody ever gets so spiritual that you can fight him in your own human strength. We're not wrestling flesh and blood, principalities and powers. Suit up. Put on the whole armor. You got a good shepherd. But God expects us to do our part. There is a real devil. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, verse 4, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I read a story years ago about a little girl. She was afraid to go out to the barn. She had chores to do, and her mother said, well, if you go out there, Jesus lives in your heart. Jesus will be with you. She said, well, Mother, if Jesus is with me, then I'm not afraid to go out there and do my chores. That one little thing, that Jesus is with you, free that little girl from fear forever. When it comes to the valley of the shadow of death, we're all like little children. But the Lord tells us that when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we have no need to fear. He is with us, and he takes away fear. I'll never forget. At the old church there, that day I was preaching, I remember the sermon like it was yesterday, you can make a difference. And as I was preaching, I got to feeling bad. I mean, really bad. And so finally, I just landed that thing, and I went down and sat over in my chair. Gave an altar call, sat in my chair, and the saints were coming up. Well, I could see everybody talking to them. I could see them praying. But I was leaving, and I'm gone. And I'm going up, up, up. I had no fear. I knew I was going. I mean, I had no fear. I was at perfect peace. And I just kept going up, up, up. And finally, I saw the brightest light I've ever seen in my life. I saw the glory of God. And I started back down. And when I got back in my body, Teresa said, Jerry, you do know Psalms 91:16, don't you? I said, sure I do. I saw the glory that day. But I had no fear of death. But I don't know why God let me come back, but I was going. But he sent me back. Here I am. Hallelujah. So, I'm glad I got to come back. I hope I win some souls to Jesus. I hope I do utilize my life properly. I hope I make a difference. That's what I was preaching that day. You can make a difference. I hope it makes a difference for somebody that's struggling along life's journey. There's a devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I know the good shepherd. Hallelujah. And I shall not want. And I'm not afraid to live, and I'm not afraid to die. And when you know Jesus like that, that's what Paul said. He said, whether I live unto the Lord. Whether I die unto the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. Is that your testimony tonight? Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. You're the Lord's. And he will take care of you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. But of power, of love, and of a sound mind. He's given us a spirit of power. He's given us a spirit of love. He's given us a spirit of a sound mind. I shall not want. Hallelujah. See, the Christian does not have to fear evil. But God has given us power over all the power of the devil. That doesn't mean you won't have trials. See, our Jehovah Shammah is with us. He is there. Our Jehovah Nisi, his banner over us is love. Our Jehovah Shalom, his peace is for us and with us. Our Jehovah Jireh, he provides. And then our Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Hallelujah. You have to take these things apart. You know, most people can say the 23rd Psalm. I say it many times. You know, I just like to quote it. I like to quote the 23rd Psalm. I like to quote Psalm 91. I like to quote the first Psalm. I just like to say them. But if you're not careful, if you don't take it and think about it, it's like the Lord's Prayer. If you don't think about what's being said, it just becomes something you say. It's still something powerful. But meditate on it. Verse 5, Psalms 23 and 5. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. See, oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. As a young boy, David was anointed by the prophet Samuel. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. Later in life, David is facing temptations and hardships and troubles. But because of his special anointing, he could always rejoice. Put Psalms 92 and 10 up there. See, we have to have this fresh anointing. David was a psalmist. He was a singer. He was a musician. He was a praiser. He was a worshiper. He was a warrior. Psalm 92 and 10. But my horn is a man that when he was anointed by the prophet Samuel, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. But my horn shall exalt like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. David said, I need a fresh anointing. And all of us are going to need that. And that's why it's so important that we come to church. You know, some of the greatest things I've ever seen God do were in settings when there were just a few people there. I would love to see it in the big assemblies. But I've seen more miracles and more healings take place in small places where people got together. God is not a small God, but God just loves his people. Look at Psalm 101. This is David. He gives us some psalms. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. I love this. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That means that whatever God says he is in this book, that's who he is. His truth, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That truth endures to all generations. Look at Psalms 23 and 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, the good shepherd, he's Jehovah Shammah. He never leaves his sheep. is that. At the end of the day, he calls them in one by one into the fold. Think about that when you go to bed tonight. One by one, the good shepherd calls his sheep in. Look at John 10 and 7. Then says Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Look at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's powerful. Amen. God cares, and God provides for us. And as surely as a good shepherd cares for his sheep, because Jesus is our good shepherd, he cares for our every need. Some people have the idea that everything that happens to them that's bad is an act of God. Some people, when they're sick, they think God made them sick. Some people, they feel like God is trying to teach them some lesson by having bad things come their way. No, no, no. This Bible is your inheritance book. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Look at verse 6 again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pastor Ricky. Our good shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, he is with us today. We don't have to worry about the future. Why not? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that with me? The Lord is my shepherd. And I like this right here. Psalms 23 and 6, the latter part. After he talks about goodness and mercy being on his trail, he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because the Lord is our shepherd. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, oh Jesus Messiah.
Your
Jesus
need.
Messiah,
good shepherd, take care of that need tonight. Say, Lord, you're my shepherd, and I've come to have that need met. Lord, I need provision for my family. You're my provider. Lord, I need healing in my body.
Ray,
you're watching tonight. I release God's saving anointing. I release the Jehovah Rapha into this house right here. Father, I praise you. Hallelujah.
Jesus Messiah.
Glory to God. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord of all. All our hope.
Hallelujah.
Is in you.
All our hope.
Messiah.